check your social media platforms, Instagram, X, whatever it may be. First thing you do, and I was guilty of this. So this is coming from a person that went through a restorative repentance process. First thing you do, intimacy is, first thing you do, wake up, the phone's right there. First thing you do is talk to God. Second thing, take it out. I know it's going to sound cliche. Oh, it's very religious. Eh, I don't care. It works. There's the algorithm of God's grace, man. You take it out and you get into God's word immediately. Don't get up from the bed before you talk to God and get into his word. Don't dare leave your room without that discipline. Talk to God. First thing. I used to be addicted to Fox News app. First thing I would read is the news. And then it got me in a pit. So I just, God, just get up, pray, get into the word, and then do everything else. But that time of intimacy has to be deliberate, has to be intentional, and you can't let the enemy distract you or disrupt. You with me? Say intimacy. I want to remind you from last year of a point I shared in the message about the plow and Elijah. Every single day there is a battle. And the battle is this whole thing about, there's the devil trying to say, the biggest battle, Colossians 2:15, he's already defeated. He really is. So he's living a lie. The devil is such a liar that he lies to himself. And that's why he continues to attack you, because he lies to himself, believing that there's a possibility he could overcome your God-ordained purpose. Because he's a liar. And the number one person he lies to is himself. He can't do anything but lie. So that's why, but if he's defeated, if Christ defeated him, Colossians 2:15, and Christ defeated every principality and power of darkness, making a public spectacle of them on the cross. He was not their prisoner. They were his, Colossians 2:15. Why in the world is the devil still doing stuff? Because he's a liar. And he lies to himself. Your objective is to push back on that lie every single day by occupying the promises of God. And you do it. You do it with what you think, with what you say, with what you do. Your actions, your reactions, and your interactions. Because there's a battle. And the battle is what? The battle is between your mind and your mantle. The number one battle you have is between this and this. Between the calling of God and the thoughts that go through your head. It's between anxiety and anointing, fear and faith. It's between your memories and your imagination. It's between your past and your future, your dream and your nightmare. But in Jesus' name, the battle has already been won. 1 Corinthians 15:57. Christ is your victory. So the third stone is integrity. Somebody say integrity. 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 So it's identity, it's intimacy, it's integrity. This is how we bring down the giants. And we lead in these troubled times. Integrity. Integrity is not something, it is everything. You heard me last year, when your integrity is greater than your influence, nothing can stop you. You write that down, memorize it. When your integrity is greater than your influence, if they are even, we're going to have a problem. But when your integrity is greater than your influence, nothing can stop you. Integrity, it's not something, it is everything. Live out the seven H's. I'm going to say them real loud, real quick for you. If you want to take any notes down, good luck with that. You may want to record it. These seven H's are part of our mantra in our church leadership, in my family, my kids. So it's not just the family, it's my kids. My three kids who are like grown up, and they actually look older than I do. My kids, yeah, it's just genetic predisposition from the mom's side. My kids, it is what it is. So always speak truth. So my are we recording this? You might want to. So the seven H's, they have it memorized. George has it memorized. My entire church, it's like a mantra. It's like, all right, what? Live a holy, healed, healthy, happy, humble, hungry, honoring life. And with that life, you change the world. There it is, the seven H's. Live a holy life. 1 Peter 1:16. What makes you holy is not what you do, is who he is in you. So your actions are a manifestation of the Holy Spirit living inside of you. That's pretty powerful. I love that. But you submit to the will of God, to the Spirit of God, and you live a holy life. Holiness, Genesis 6:8. Noah was a righteous man. In the New Testament, that term would be just flipped over to a holy man, and God favored him. Holiness will open doors. The righteousness of God, living a righteous life according to God's word, will, and way, will open doors that no man can ever close. Holiness is a firewall. It's beautiful. You live a holy life. Living a holy life in every sense of the word, oh my goodness. You feel like Superman. There's nothing you can't do. That's why the enemy attacks your integrity. He wants to bind you with shame and condemnation. This is not sort of some sort of legalistic message. Holiness is beautiful. It's not this stifle. It's not like, ooh, no. It's like amazing. To live a holy life is like, wow. It's powerful. It begins with holiness. A holy life. A healed life. 1 Peter 2:24. Health. That healed life speaks to spiritual healing, emotional healing, relational healing. It works. Be healed. But I've been through stuff. We all go through things. Be healed in the name of Jesus. Isaiah 58, verse 8. Isaiah 53, verse 5. Be healed. Be healed. Are you telling me to get over it? Yes. But it was painful. Yes. Be healed. Be healed. I shared something to Pastor Mike personally that I went through. I'm on this Norwegian cruise line thing a few weeks ago. So my wife and my daughter obligated me to go out on this cruise. So we end up doing the whole Mediterranean thing, Santorini and Mykonos. The reason I like cruises is because I just can't see myself, you know, in a boat. For 10 days, dude. And it's like, you have limitations, right? Like the food is cool, but after like day three, it's the same food. Not gonna change. So I just, we did the best, and I went through therapy, and I'm doing better. So we get on this cruise, and the whole entire process, you know, I'm going like, in the middle of it, I told Pastor yesterday, God gives me this thing. And he goes, I want you to do, I've never done this in my entire life. Holy Spirit speaks to me and says, I want you to do something. And I'm going, speak to me, Lord. Sound like Paul. Yeah. All right. I want you to text everybody who did you dirty. Do you dirty is a California phrase for they did you dirty. I went like, what? They're like, throughout your journey, people that really, And I'm going like, whoa, what do you want me to text them? Text them 1 Corinthians 2:9. Your eye has yet to see, your ear has yet to hear, your mind has yet to imagine the wonderful things God has in store for you. And then tell them, I love you and I bless you. It's about five, six people, like my entire journey. I'm going like, seriously? God said, watch. So I just took out my iPhone, because of course it has to be, if you have an Android, you really have to seek God, because there's things, you are so out of alignment. I mean, the Old Testament, you learn from it, but you live according to the new. I mean, come on, guys. I mean, yeah, I'm an Android guy, okay? Good luck with that. So I started texting people. Boom, doom, 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 doom. Same day, span about 10 minutes. And the text that I got back, without failure, all six, if I'm not mistaken, all text back. And this means the world. This changed my life. You freed me. Oh my goodness, I've been waiting for this for years, blah, blah, blah. And didn't text him back, didn't even put like the little like emoji, little thing, because that would be kind of corny, kind of, ding, I love it, yeah, I love the fact that you love me, telling you, like you never know when to stop, like you loved it and I loved it back, do we continue to say we love it? And when does it become awkward, like I'm loving it after you love me back, so you, there's like this little polity and protocol you have to adhere to. There's so much pressure, man. Woo! So, you just, all right, boom. Ever since then, God is my witness, the doors that have opened up. Our church reaped the greatest harvest we have seen in 13 years. 13 years. New movie deals came in, a bunch of other things took place that God just released the moment we let people go.
We hope you're enjoying this episode of Samuel Rodriguez here on TBN. This show is completely sponsored and paid for by New Season Church in Sacramento, California. Newsmax magazine has rated New Season Church one of the top 15 fastest growing megachurches in the country. They also named Pastor Sam Rodriguez one of the top 100 Christian leaders in America. If you have ever been blessed by this program, this church, or Pastor Sam, would you consider partnering with us by making a donation? There are many ways to give. The QR code on the screen can be scanned by your phone. You can text NSSAC to the number 77977 or by going to newseasonworship.org and clicking Give at the top of the page. New Season is a church that looks a lot like heaven. And every week this program strives to give you a message that sounds like it came from heaven. Content that is meant to encourage, edify, and inspire you. Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God, and this program is meant to bring forth the Lamb's agenda. Thank you for considering giving to this program so that the message of Jesus Christ can continue to be broadcast on TBN to over 2 billion potential viewers across the globe. No matter the amount, any donation helps keep this program running. Would you please consider partnering with us? In doing so, we have the ability and opportunity to change the world.
Be healed. And the number one thing you need to forgive is not other people, is yourself. Yourself. Be healed from the stuff that was self-inflicted, that you did to yourself or you did to others. You have been redeemed. You've been washed. You are a new creation in Christ. So it's holy, healed, healthy, 3 John chapter 1, verse 2. You need to focus on your health, physical health, mental health, emotional health, financial health, relational health. Yeah, healthy. That you are what you eat, you are your diet, you are your exercises. And now we're not all perfect. It's not like I'm the pristine embodiment of perfection. No, far from it. But at least I know that there's information out there and there's great science, which is a continuum of God's wisdom. It's beautiful. It's faith and science. It's just one beautiful continuum of God-ordained divine wisdom. And we have to learn from this. So drink your green tea, your matcha green tea, and take your antioxidants and get away from processed foods. And live a healthier life, you know? And don't put stuff in your body and then expect something different to come out. It's just, I mean, and exercise, you know, and mentally, your cognitive domain, physically, become a little bit obsessive with health. Why? Why, Pastor Sam? That's not really biblical. Oh, yes, it is. 1 Corinthians 3:16, you're not the temple of mediocrity or failure or compulsive. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit. So act like it, walk like it, eat like it, live like it. Was that too hard? Is that too much? Oh, I'm sorry. I'm not sorry. Holy, healed, healthy, happy. Is this a theology of happiness? No, it's not the center point, but it is John 15:11. Read it. Jesus said, here's my objective, that your joy, one version does read happiness, unbridled, unlimited, in the Greek exeget of the passage, that your joy may be full. Jesus is saying right there, again, exegetical extrapolation, I want you to be the happiest people. This is Jesus. Does it mean we're never going to suffer? No. But he wants us to be the happiest people on the planet. Be happy. Be happy. Smile. Laugh more. Don't take things seriously. Look at yourself in the mirror and laugh for a while. Laugh. Laugh at yourself. I come from a community, a culture. My parents are from Puerto Rico, and their forefathers came from Spain, from the part of Galicia, the northern part of Spain, and 2 generations deep into Puerto Rico, from Puerto Rico to Pennsylvania. But our culture is known that we never take anything serious. Like everything's a joke. Even stuff that should be kind of, oh man. Like you're in a funeral and you're Puerto Ricans, you'll hear laughter. And you're going, but that's not cool. It's just who we are. Very few things, very few things. You just gotta learn how to laugh. Holy, healed, healthy, happy, humble. Somebody say humble. That humility, it's Matthew 23, verse 12. You know, if you exalt yourself, you're going to be humbled. But those that humble themselves will be lifted up, will be exalted. He'll lift you up. That humility is not rhetorical. It's not fake. It's when you really understand that you're only here by the grace of God. That it's really God's grace. Not your talent, not your gifting, not your personality, not your connections. But you're here by the grace of God. I fear. I get on stages. You may think like, what you listen, man. Every single time I come up here and I preach, even in my church, or be in a stadium of 100,000 people in front of a billion people in the inauguration, I shared it last year. When I went up to the inauguration, people were thinking, Pastor Sam, you're such under the anointing. You must have just walked up there with some great confidence. What? This is me going up for the inauguration. What? dude, no. Now, truth be told, the moment I got up here, it all went away. Holy Spirit just went like, whew. Calm down, sunshine. Don't faint in front of a billion people. It's going to be bad for you and for me, so let me calm you down. But I was, because you walk up with fear and trembling, and the moment you lose that, that worries me. Because that means you're confiding in your own strength. You follow me? So every time, everything I do, I know it's for the. I know it's all Him. So I'm going, I don't want to mess it up. I want every word to come out that's ordained by You. Oh, God forbid that I say something in Your name when it's not You. You're going to sue me. I can't have that. Your lawyer is better than my lawyer. So that sort of thing. So it's integrity. Holy, it's holy, healed, healthy, happy, humble, hungry. Matthew 5:6. Live a hungry life. Remember this forever. Make sure you're hungry. Matthew 5:6. Those that hunger for righteousness shall be blessed. But your hunger must always be greater than your fear. Whatever you fear, make sure your hunger is greater than your fear. I hunger for righteousness. I hunger to see my kids do greater things. So my hunger is greater than my fear. And then honor. Somebody say honor.
Honor.
You live that kind of Ephesians 6:1-4 for honor. You honor. Honor. Not just your parents and your spiritual parents and those that went before you, but as a father, I had a revelation a couple years ago. And the revelation was this. Honor, this is going to sound so counterintuitive to some of y'all. Honor everyone around you, including your kids. So I grew up as a good Pentecostal preacher where Ephesians 6:1-4, my kids have to honor me and they're going to honor me and they're going to honor me. Holy Spirit hit me and said, you got to honor them. So what? Honor them. So I started honoring my kids and everyone around me and respecting them and honoring them, and everything shifts. Live a holy, healed, healthy, happy, humble, hungry, honoring life, and with that life, you change the world. Integrity. Number four, and we're going to land this, influence. Somebody say influence. So if you have identity and you have intimacy, you have integrity. Integrity can only emerge out of intimacy. And then you have influence. And again, that influence is both vertical and horizontal. God, vertically, you have a relationship with God. Horizontally, He gives you influence. And that influence has to be managed accordingly. But that influence is critical. You got to manage that with integrity. But boy, is it powerful. Matter of fact, lift up your hands. Let me declare prophetically in Jesus' name, every single person here right now, this is not in the script, this is a moment. In Jesus' name, God will multiply the influence through your life in such a manner, a measurable way, where those that had no connection with you will be influenced by the glory and the grace of Jesus shining in you, with you, for you, and through you. So I'm speaking prophetically and declaring God-ordained influential growth upon each and every person here. You will be influential in your sphere for the glory of Jesus like never before, which means God's about to blow you up for His glory. If you receive it, shout amen.
Amen.
That influence, it's related to the cross. And that cross, you live a life that is depicted by the cross. That cross is both vertical and horizontal. That cross is vertical and horizontal. That cross is both sanctification and service, conviction and compassion. It is truth and love. It is orthodoxy and orthopraxy. It is John 3:16 and Matthew 25. That cross is that right there. And whenever you reconcile, the strongest part of the cross is the nexus. This is where the fishes and the bread converge. This is where you reconcile the optics of redemption with the metrics of reconciliation. And your influence is to depict and shine that cross wherever you go. It's not about your ability and it's about Jesus. Wherever you go, whatever you post, whatever you say, whatever you do, it's about Jesus. It's that influence. Give you stories about influence. I go to the White House. I'm consulting God ordained, not Sam, Bush, Obama, Trump. I'm in there. They brought me in. And I didn't vote for everyone there, by the way. I have a strong pro-life ethos, so I can't vote for people that are not pro-life. Just me. That can't vote. If you're not pro-life, I'm not voting for you. But they had me there. And I would walk into the White House and I would go, Holy Spirit, I will not say anything whatsoever unless you want me to speak. So we walk into a meeting and everyone else would speak. I would go, I'm not saying one thing. Matter of fact, this is what I would do. I walk into the room, be it the White House or the West Wing and so forth. And I'm the guy in the corner, hiding. And I'm just going, if you want me to speak, tell the president to say, Sam, we haven't heard from you. Have the chief of staff say, Mr. President, we have, if not, I'm not saying a thing. If you want me to speak, you will make it happen. But I'm not gonna raise my hand. I'm just gonna wait. Every single time without failure, I would be in the corner room, and everybody, and I'm going like, and the president or someone else would say, you know, the former president was calling me Sammy. He goes, Sammy, we haven't heard from you. What say you? And boom, I would release. I'm walking in the White House just praying, and I'm praying in the spirit. I'm walking through the West Wing going, oh God, just go ahead. Give me the word. And I'm praying in the spirit. All with this conviction of your influence, the influence you've given me is for your glory. It can't be about me. It can't be about me reaping personal benefits from it. It has to be all about you. And it has to, and they see it. I'll give you a story about President Obama. Multiple occasions for Christmas. There's a Christmas real personal gathering in the White House. And hey, Pastor Sam, we want you to come in with Eva, your wife, and come in, wear your gowns, black tie affair for Christmas. Year after year, sorry, so honored by this, can't make it. Second year, sorry, can't make it. Third year, sorry, can't make it. Get a call from the White House. Sam, what's going on? Like every time the president, for this, for the other meetings, you show up for the Christmas personal stuff with the first lady, you're not making it. I go, I can't. It happens to fall on the same day as my daughter's birthday. And I'm going to be honest. I'm going to be honest, with great due deference to the president, I'm going to dedicate my time to the people who will show up for my funeral. The last one is innovation. Societal architects and cultural reformers. It's innovation. It's ingenuity and innovation. New ideas, fresh ideas. Believe God that He has the power to place in you ideas that will change your life, change your family, change your generation, and change the world. Let me declare prophetically again, the next Mark Zuckerbergs and Elon Musk will be born again, spirit-filled, Christ-loving, Father-glorified men and women of God. Anybody come in agreement that the next multi-billionaires will be God's children in the kingdom who will emerge? God-ordained ideas. And with God-ordained ideas, we need to create content that will lead to conversations, that will lead to conversions, that will lead to inevitable cultural reformation. That's who we are. We create that content. Everything you do in life as a creator, and we all have that creative gene, that prophetic genome is part of who we are as God's children. Make sure everything you do speaks to the heart, the head, and the hand. Everything you do should speak to the heart, the head, and the hand. The heart is inspiration. The head is information. The hand is impartation. Everything you do, create content, anything you write, anything you deliver, any speech, any apparatus, make sure it inspires, it informs, and it imparts. Speak to the heart, the head, and the hand. We need to stimulate our intellect, our cognitive bandwidth. We need to speak to the affective, the emotional domain. And we need to be practical about things, where we can do something with the information we acquire, all under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. That's how we change the world. I'll leave you the final note. Little secret note here. Abide in an atmosphere where God's dream for your life becomes clear. Surround yourself with people that help make that dream a reality. Serve other people's dreams. When you see others fulfilling your dreams, rejoice and give God glory. Legitimately so, because it only means you're next. Number four, pursue righteousness. And number five, when your dream becomes a reality, open doors for those that come behind you to do greater things. You follow that prescription, I promise you, in the name of Jesus, you'll bring down every single giant in your generation, and you'll do nothing less than change the world. If you got this, get up and give God some glory and just give Him praise.
Your mess is about to become God's miracle. Your family mess is about to become God's miracle. Your health mess is about to become God's miracle. Your financial mess is about to become God's miracle. Your generational mess is about to become God's miracle. Your mental, emotional mess is about to become God's miracle. Your mess is about to become God's miracle. Can you come in agreement with me that America's mess is about to become God's miracle? I wrote a book called Your Mess, God's Miracle, from the narrative embedded in the Gospel of St. John, chapter 9. It's when Jesus healed the blind man, and he did so in a very unorthodox manner. What did he do? He took his spittle, he spit on the ground, he made mud out of it, and he placed it on a blind man's eyes. Did you hear that? What an unorthodox process. This book will empower you with the following truth. The process is temporary, the promise is permanent. I will repeat that. The process is temporary, the promise is permanent. Out of all the books I've written, this is my 11th book. This is the number one message thus far in all of my ministerial and writing trajectory. It's so anointed, it's so filled with God's power and spirit, it will bless your life. I promise you, you read it and you will see by faith through Christ, your mess becoming God's miracle. So go right now. This book comes out April 6th, but there's a sense of urgency in the next few days for you to pick up a copy. So go on Amazon.com, pre-order. Your book will arrive the week of April 6th, but it behooves you, it compels you to get your copy today. And watch this. If you DM me a screenshot of the purchase of the book, my team has been instructed to randomly pick from the DMs individuals who have pre-ordered this book to send them copies of my previous books. You may be receiving 2 copies, 1 copy, 3 copies of books I've already written. Many of them became bestsellers for the glory of God. It will bless your life. So pre-order right now, Amazon.com. Go ahead, let's do this. Your mess, God's miracle.